We're doing the book of Tzfaniah. We're up to the first chapter, the ninth pasuk. And the Navi is describing the destruction of Jerusalem, and he was warning that the destruction is imminent. And the Navi was also warning that the leaders will be plucked and killed, and anyone who is of the aristocracy will be taken down. It is a day of God's slaughter, the Navi had said. And the Navi continues and says in pasuk tet, Ufakati al kol adoleg al amiftan bayom ahu. And I will take to task. I will come against all those who skip over the doorpost. Who's it talking about? So here we have the simple understanding, which is that we're talking about the officers, meaning the workers of the government who would be quick to enter people's homes to steal from them. They'd come with their tax collecting ID and then be quick to steal from other people. And Rashi quotes from the Targum that Hashem says, I will take to task all those people who go in the ways of the Philistines, although centuries had passed since that famous war when the Philistines abducted the Aron. But if you recall, when the Philistines took the Aron into their custody, so then they brought it into their house of worship. And in that house of worship, Hashem made the idol first fall down before the Aron. They said, we'll bring in the Aron because he is the captor of our god, Dagon, the half merman, half fish, half man. And then the Philistines didn't get the hint, so the next day they came and they found the head and the hands and the feet of Dagon on the doorpost. And the Navi points out that from that day onward, they'd skip over the doorpost. They'd never step on that. Now that became holy. So the Targum learns that there were Jews who kept up that practice. They'd skip over that doorpost as a way of showing holiness, which is ridiculous if you think about it. Yeah, so we're not the first generation with ridiculous things. We don't have to think we invented being ridiculous. I'm serious. You read the news today, you really wonder.
It's a small consolation.
Yeah, small consolation. Yeah. So the Navi says, "Ufakati, I will take to task al kol adoleg al amiftan bayom ahu, all those that skip over the doorpost," which the simple understanding is those that skip into other people's homes to steal. The tradition we have is that it's referring to Jews who maintain this practice of skipping over that doorpost. And they fill the houses of their masters with thievery and deceit.
Kol tzeaka misha al hadagim vilala min hamishne v'shever gadol nei hagevaot.
On that day there will be great wailing from the gate of the fish. So according to Rashi, that's a gate in Jerusalem that was called Shar Hadagim. So it seems there was a fisherman's gate or the fish gate. Chazal tell us that this is a reference to Akko. Akko was referred to the gate of the fish, because Akko is still a port city, and that's where they'd catch fish. What they'd do is they'd make pits, and when the tide came in, so all the fish would get caught in those pits, and then when the tide went out, so you'd have fish in those pits. That was their way of fishing, making easy traps to catch fish. So the Navi says you will hear wailing from the gate of the fish, which is either the name of the gate or it's a reference to Akko. The vilala, and you'll hear yilala is also a form of wailing. It's more like a whimper. You'll hear min hamishne from the between the two walls, which are surrounding the city, which might be the city of Akko, of the basic shot is that it's talking, he's continuing to talk about Jerusalem, and that's why Rashi learns that Shar HaDagim was a gate in Jerusalem. But according to Chazal, that this is Akko, so then Mina Mishneh is the town that's like secondary, which is Lud, which was on the western side of Israel, and the Lud was always considered the city that was second to Jerusalem. Like Jerusalem was number one and Lud was number two, so that's why it's called HaMishneh, like the vice president, the second in command, from the word Shnaim. So, yeah, you find Lud, you find it throughout the Shas. Yeah, Lud was, Chazal spoke about Lud as being a major city. So, and Josephus also, I think. So, on that day, he says there will be wailing from the gate of the fish, which we said Tup Shatamin, Vilala, and a whimper, and another form of wailing, Mina Mishneh, which we also said Tup Shatamin. According to Rashi, Mina Mishneh means the secondary gate, which is the gate of the birds. They had the gate of the fish, and then they had the second gate was the gate of the fish. The Shever Gadol, Mea Gevaot. And there will be tremendous destruction, breaking from the hilltops, which the simple pshat is that's Tzipori, that lived, that was situated on the top of mountains. However you learn, he's discussing that throughout Israel there will be destruction. Heililu Yoshevei HaMachtesh. The Navi says, you call out, you wail. Heililu is the same root as Yilala. You people who live in the Machtesh. Machtesh comes from the word like when you beat herbs. So what's the name of the
mortar?
The mortar, yeah. So Machtesh is a mortar. It's a reference to an area that was hollowed out, someplace that's low. So the Navi says there was an area in Jerusalem that was called Machtesh, some deep valley. That's the simple pshat. The deeper pshat is that this is talking about Tveria. He was talking about he went from Akko to Lud to Tzipori, and now he's talking about Tveria that lives down below. So all of this is Chazal's pshat. The simple pshat is that he's talking about places around Yerushalayim. Ki nidma kolam kinan nichritu kol netilecha hasef. Because the nation of Canaan has been silenced. Who is the nation of Canaan? So one understanding is we're talking about the people of Israel who lived in the land of Canaan. And this is another blow. He is already calling the land not Eretz Israel, but he's calling us like foreigners in Canaanite territory. The deeper understanding is that he's saying your behavior is like the people of Canaan. And the simple understanding is that the word Canaan really means merchant. The word Canaan in Hebrew, you find the word Canaan is a scale. And they used to call the merchant, you find in the Navi, lo yavosham Kanani. No merchants will pass through there. So that also explains why the land was called the land of Canaan. We have a tradition that it didn't belong to Canaan. Canaan stole it from Shem. So why would you call it the land of Canaan? You name it after the thief. But historically we know that the land of Israel was on the merchants' routes, and the merchants really kept passing through Israel. It's the key connector between Russia and Europe and Asia. So the merchants' routes always passed through Israel, and that's a simple understanding why it's called the land of Canaan, the land where all the merchants passed through. So the Navi says, "Ki nidma kolam Canaan," because this nation of merchants has been silenced. Nichetu kol netilei chasef. All those who carry their silver, they carry their money wherever they go. That's the way of the merchants. They've been cut off. And this would seem to indicate that there were a lot of merchants among Israel. It's not a new thing that we're businessmen. That even when we had our own territory, and you'd think that from Chazal, the impression you usually get is that we were generally an agricultural society. Maybe this pasuk is giving us indication otherwise, that he calls us Am Kenan. I don't know. והיה בעת ההיא אחפש את ירושלים בנרות. Now you guys, this should be familiar from the beginning of Pesachim. אחפש את ירושלים בנרות. From here we learn that בדיקס חמץ is לא נר, right? I will search Yerushalayim with a candle. God says, and that time will come, the time of destruction, that I will personally search out through Jerusalem with candles to ensure that no one gets away. So this is a morbid pasuk. Hashem says, I will search out Yerushalayim like one who is seeking with a candle. Ufakadti al hanashim hakofeim al shimreihim. And then I will take to task those people that are like wine that's sitting calmly on its sediment. I will pay back all those people who are sitting calmly and ha'omirim bilvavam. And the reason they're so calm in spite of all my warnings is because they say lo yetiv Adonai velo yareha. God doesn't get involved. I have nothing to worry about. He doesn't do anything good to anyone who lives a good life. He doesn't do anything bad to anyone who leads a bad life. It's all coincidence, so we have nothing to worry about. So the Prophet is warning us, we don't have to worry about it. Hashem says, even those people, the people who are not aristocracy, even the people who just, they refuse to believe, because it's very nice to believe that it's all coincidence. Hashem says, I'm taking them to task too. And it's interesting, you see that history repeats itself. People think they're saying something new when they make this claim. It has nothing to do with God. It's all a question of how strong our army is, how smart our leaders are. And the Navi says that it was this way in the time of the first temple too. Vayachilam limshisa uvatayim lishmama. Their wealth will be trampled upon, their homes will be desolate. Uvanuvatim velo yeshevu. They will build homes that will not be inhabited. Minatu chiramim. They will plant vineyards. Velo yishtu et yinam. And they won't be able to drink the wine from those vineyards. To my mind, that's one of the difficult curses. When a person works to build something and he doesn't see it to fruition. We see the Torah also gives it a lot of weight. The Torah gives a person a ptol. The Torah gives us a leeway where a person doesn't go out to war if he's in the middle of something like this, planting a vineyard, building a house, because we say you work on something, it's a very basic desire to see if the fruition, build a house, you want to live in it at least a year.
I was just reading Amin Das the other day that he said it was so hard to be involved in all of Israel's troubles, and just when you're getting to the good part, he's not allowed to see the good.
Yafeh. I never thought of it that way. Yafeh. Yeah, that's we say it in davening. It's one of the lines that resonate most with me. We say, Shelo nigal larik. We shouldn't toil for naught. Meaning, you have to work hard and then not see it to fruition. Karov yom Adonai ha-gadol. Karov u-maher me'od. Hashem repeatedly warns them, it is near that day of reckoning, the day where Hashem will take people to task. And we discussed last week that this is the great weakness that we have. When we don't see that the danger is imminent, so we don't take it to heart. And that's why the Navi repeatedly warns us. It's not so far off. You know, people see what's going on in Egypt and they figure, no, let's wait and see. Why let's wait and see? Now's the time to daven. Let's daven now, and we won't have to wait and see if the Muslim Brotherhood will take over Egypt or not. We shouldn't wait for things to get bad. You see signs that things could be bad. You have to wake up. But the nature of people is that until the fire is near their home, they're not so worried. So Hashem repeatedly warns us. It's near, and it's coming swiftly. Kol yom Adonai mal tzoreach sham gibor. The day of reckoning, the day when Hashem will take people to task, is going to be such a great day that even the great warrior is going to be mal tzoreach. His heart is going to melt and he will call out bitterly in the middle of the war, because he also will lose hope. Mar tzoreach, he will be wailing bitterly, sham over there in the war, gibor, even the great warrior. Yom Hashem, the day of Hashem, mar tzoreach, will be wailing bitterly, sham over there, gibor, the great warrior. Now, this is the pshat we have in the pasuk. You should just realize that the pshat doesn't fit well with the tamim, with the trap of the pasuk. Because ordinarily, a tipcha connotes a slight pause, like a comma. So the tipcha is on the word tzoreach. So the way the pasuk reads is, Yom Hashem, mal tzoreach, sham gibor. The sham gibor is more connected than the tzoreach. And it really, according to this pshat, it should have said, mal tzoreach sham gibor. Because the gibor is separate from the mal tzoreach sham. Mal tzoreach, he will wail bitterly, sham over there, pause, gibor, the brave warrior.
Can you read that one more time, please?
Mal tzoreach sham gibor. After the tzoreach, you have a slight pause. And really, the slight pause should be after the sham. After Yeah, to fit the pshat. I'm saying...
What would be a pshat
that I don't know. It's not so difficult because what you end up with is that Mal Tzoreach will wail bitterly over there, the brave one. Meaning there's a greater stress on the sham. We think the stress should be on the gibor. Because he seems to be the subject of the conversation. That's why we would put the pause after the word over there, after the sham. But the way it fits over here is that what the Navi is stressing is not the gibor. He's not the subject. The subject of the sentence ends up being the word sham, over there. So that gives a slightly different connotation to the whole pasuk. Mal tzoreach will wail bitterly over there, the brave one. I mean, imagine the comma after will wail bitterly. So then the subject ends up being much more the stress of over there, that day of reckoning of Hashem, which I guess fits with the pasuk, because that is the stress of the pasuk. The stress of the pasuk is not the brave one. The stress is over there, that day of reckoning. Okay, we'll pick up here next week, Bizat Shem.